Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports, medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. We got a great doubleheader. Leon Lee is a former Major League Baseball player. He's a member of the prominent Lee Baseball family, and he is the founder and CEO of Dream Alive Vision. He'll be joining me, along with returning Rick Tellender, the award-winning Senior Hall of Fame sports columnist, the Chicago Sun-Times. He's a multiple author, including his recent children's book, Sweet Dreams, Poems, and Paintings. And some Bob Guider wisdom, some emails. First, I want to welcome Leon Lee to the Sports Doctor. Leon, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dr. Bob. How are you?
Great. Give us some background on yourself and that the famous Lee baseball family.
Well, you know, I'm
our mutual friend Lowe told me I had to mention absolutely the baseball family. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, I'm you know, my older brother Leron kind of started it out. He signed with the St. Louis Cardinals, a first-round draft pick, played in the big leagues. While he was in the major leagues with the Cardinals, I got drafted out of high school by St. Louis Cardinals and was actually on my way to on a football scholarship in Oklahoma, but was talked into signing with St. Louis because my brother was there. And right after I signed with St. Louis, doggone it, he got traded over to San Diego Padres. But I ended up signing with St. Louis in 1971. And I also have a cousin who was a really good baseball player, and you may know his name as Ronnie Lott. He ended up being a Hall of Fame football player. But
Ronnie, one of the greatest. One of the greatest of all time in the world of football.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting because when we compare notes with his career with the 49ers and the Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs and my 17-year baseball career, I literally had more concussions. I had more broken bones. I had more knee surgeries than he did. So he kind of quelled that argument about football being more dangerous than baseball.
Yeah, you're one of the exceptions to the rule. But when you're playing at world-class level, then, of course, you have to be a superstar just to get to that level. I know you spent a decade in Japan. I can't believe your statistics and your brother. You got, you know, with between batting average, home runs, RBIs, you guys were some real rivals, weren't you?
Yeah, we were. It was a big deal for me. You know, my brother's 5 years older. I was always competing. Kind of, you know, as a younger brother, we were the only two Americans on the team. And 1 year we hit 316.7. I hit 316.4. But the big year in 1980, you know, we hit back-to-back home runs, believe it or not, 12 times in 1 year. And that's kind of unprecedented. We didn't think so at the time. And then my older son, Derek Lee, you may know, played for the Chicago Cubs. He went out with the Padres. Ended up with the Marlins, and they won the World Series in 03 against the Yankees. That's the year I was managing in Japan, so me and my wife actually flew home for the World Series, and they ended up beating the big, bad Yankees, which was exciting. And he had a very fruitful, productive 15-year Major League career. Ended up playing with our hometown friend, Dusty Baker, in Chicago with the Cubs after they had beat Dusty. And there's a big member of the old Steve Bartman thing.
Yes.
There.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Derek was there. And it was kind of, they didn't think about the fact that all fans jump after balls and the fact that errors made and things happened that allowed the Marlins to win. But Dusty was there then, and he brought Derek in. I think the following year after that, Derek joined up with Dusty in Chicago. He had his best time in his career playing in Chicago with Dusty.
Oh, and I think one of the reasons everybody was kind of tolerating maybe to root for the Astros was Dusty Baker, who, again, in Chicago, everybody loves him, the East Coast, and it was fantastic to see him win. You know, you never know what becomes a history-changing notoriety event. Bill Buckner wore my orthotics with the Cubs his whole career in Chicago. And,
wow, and
who knew the ball might go through his legs and change the world. Like, you know, the whole Bartman scenario, just
right.
An unbelievable situation. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you go back years. All sorts of topics, different guests, international, national, local. Listen to whatever you would like. If you go over newspaper articles and magazines, so many different articles and so many topics. A lot of excitement with the new MVP Parent magazine. But my hottest article still continues to be Women in High Heels accepting the challenge. We have thousands and thousands of followers at SportsDoc, DOC Radio, with Twitter. And a lot of excitement on LinkedIn. We're talking with Leon Lee, the famous member of this incredible family in the world of sports, and talking about all that history. You know, athletes are so much bigger. They're so much faster, so much stronger. And so many, every time you turn around with the injuries, and it's hard to keep up with some of the different tremendous events. With Aaron Judge, 62 home runs, a lot of crazy stuff going on. Very exciting. I'm sure you're a huge fan.
I am. I've known Aaron for a number of years. I actually worked with him a little bit when he was younger. And I know his stepdad, Wayne Judge, very well. We talked about
the guy's 6'8", 270 pounds. Again, is an agile athlete. Whole different world.
A whole different world.
See. When I see, you know, my favorite player growing up in New York, Willie Mays. And,
yep.
But I think he was 5'11", 185 pounds.
Exactly.
Mantle.
Exactly.
And the challenges today. And one of the big topics on the Sports Doctor, Leon, is the challenge in youth sports with all the overuse injuries, all the tremendous, physically and mentally, the tremendous pressure. You know that. When you achieve those kinds of levels, the physical and mental pressure, playing hurt, all of these different things are such a big deal. But I want to ask you about your exciting Dream Alive vision, and where you're really looking to change the whole status quo in challenged African-American communities, putting together resources, great partnerships. Tell us, Leon, about Dream Alive vision.
Well, Dream Alive is something that came about. A real dear friend of mine I've known for 30-plus years, a mathematician by trade, a teacher and a counselor in high school for years, and his dad was a refugee that came over years ago from Germany, got really befriended by people in the underserved communities, and his son, Phil, the mathematician, his father passed away, and he vowed to give something back to the underserved communities. And Phil spent 15 years building this gaming site because that's what he does. He's a mathematician. And we've known each other from years and years back when he ran a basketball program. It had Matt Barnes, the ex-NBA player, and my son Derek, and my youngest son Brian played in his basketball program. And I hadn't seen him in a lot of years. And when he built this platform, he built it for one reason, to generate revenue. And I put together the Dream Alive nonprofit, 501c3, kind of like a holding company. And his dream was basically to get as much funds or resources as possible into our Dream Alive system, nonprofit, and the reason to do that was to create an economic impact in underserved communities. baseball being one of them, because we're trying to get more young African-American players interested in playing baseball at younger
ages. Isn't that amazing? I think that surprises so many people in so many ways, all races, the fact that African-Americans really, who were such a big part of baseball, they were a huge part of the NBA, they were a huge part of the NFL, but so this is an interesting challenge. When you would always assume, of course, that whatever the sport would be like baseball, and putting these kinds of partnerships together, you know, with baseball. Are you dealing with other sports in this world?
Yeah, we're dealing with all the sports, but we're focusing mainly on the educational aspect of it. We're dealing with what kids are dealing with and their situations in low-income areas. The stats, 70% of the kids and live in homes with incomes under $25,000 a year are simply idle. Idleness doesn't, lead to good things, and you have the issues with the high incarceration rate of...
Yes, the idea of, sports being a tremendous vehicle, whether it's a member of a family, whether there are relationships with coaches, teammates, you can't get away from the importance of the whole world of relationships and the fact that, the tremendous, for example, divorce rate over these decades. And single-family homes and these challenges nobody has to overemphasize the challenges of mental health, times a thousand with the whole pandemic. So the importance of these youngsters getting a good education that makes such a difference in their lives is a tremendous thread that runs through it. What's the website, Leon? People
it's
could
called,
find out about.
Yes, dreamalivevision.com. You'll see other Dream Alives, but I didn't want to leave that name. That was kind of the name that I wanted to go with, kind of symbolizes what we're trying
to
do.
That's a great title.
Yes, the dreamalivevision.com. And it's really for that, for kids and deal with trauma, to make resources available that doesn't have to be paid back. And we're encouraging people, in the communities that there are people on the ground doing great things.
The government, community, school world needs to continue to be paying much more attention. We've come a long way, baby, in the world of youth sports. I've talked about it for decades on the Sports Doctor, give or take a few weeks. And the fact that we have seen much more attention to the mental, I call it the mental game, where we have so much in the world of psychology, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, maybe you're their brothers, their coaches, or you're just trying to stay on your exercise program, or you're trying to deal with your diet program. The whole mental game has really come a long way, yet...
Yes.
We're treading water at best, it seems. This is why it's so important to talk about organizations like yours and these types of partnerships with the communities, like the Mariano Rivera Foundation and the Learning Center at the Yogi Berra Museum, where they're involved in so many of these communities. How have you found the schools and these other organizations, Leon, being helpful?
Well, these, I've always, a lot of the guys like Mariano Rivera and the bigger name, the guys that have fought hard and made names for themselves, and they have very fruitful organizations, 501c3s and nonprofits. We're encouraging these guys to get involved because this kind of funding that helps their foundation succeed, and then it spreads out to the next one. And next thing you know, you have people being involved.
Absolutely. Our friends at Baseball Blue Book, again, who are so involved in the world of whether it's the parents, the coaches, the schools, all of these questions, organizations, we want to pay much more attention to things we're talking about, the sports medicine side, the education side. These organizations, and of course the national pastime, that's a great backdrop you would think would be so helpful in so many areas, but you need the schools, and the local organizations
right.
to really, really help out exactly. the medical community. I think it's so
Even
important.
The medical community.
They also help out.
Right, right. And the Bill, you know, we have a great relationship with the Baseball Blue Book and Eric Wavina and his group, Noah. And we're going to be working real close together because the key is, you hit it, Dr. Bob, is that you got to deal with kids' issues in the community with trauma and mental health. Baseball, we're calling baseball a gamified activity with the young kids. We're not even calling it baseball. It's an activity. They learn the fundamentals of baseball. They learn the psychological side of the game. We're dealing with, you know, education and food deserts. All different kind of programs that really affect what's going on in the lower income areas. And we're just trying to use this type of resources to help. And we want people involved that says, what can I do to help, not what's in it for me.
Absolutely. I think that there is tremendous emphasis in so many ways that are very, very encouraging when it comes to all of these topics. And I knew the time would fly with Leon Lee. We're going to have Leon, you back. Give me again, please, the best sites for people to find out about your great organization.
Well, they can go to the website. It's kind of under construction. We are kind of renovating the website.
Okay.
Find it at dreamalivevision.com. And I'm listed on there, and we're moving out. It's a brand new website. We're just getting this thing started. Everything, we got the Spoker product.
Okay, I'm going to get you back when the site's ready. Hold on,
okay.
Leon, please. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we are going to have Rick Tellender, the award-winning senior Hall of Fame sports columnist of the Chicago Sun-Times, multiple author, including his recent children's book, Sweet Dreams, Poems and Paintings. Rick, I initially was on, I don't know, 15 years ago, who knows. Hey, Rick, welcome back.
Thanks, Doc. Good to be back.
I wanted to ask you about this terrific column that you wrote yesterday in the Sun-Times, A Lesson to be Learned in the Whole World of Real Life and Sports and some of these things. And I thought I'd start off, we'll talk about in the second segment, your book, asking you about the you're continuing to write about this intertwining of life and sports.
Yeah. Well, that's where my interests lie. I'm always very curious about things, and a lot of sports are pretty obvious. I mean, I could have written another column about Justin Fields, you know, and the Bears would have been, you know, I could have done that. We have plenty of people, really good writers covering the Bears, and I'm fascinated by these other things that, as you said, connect life and sports. And what happened recently with Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, and Kyrie Irving, the star guard for the Nets, you know, has its underpinnings in the real world and has a real world effect. A lot of this comes down to now the internet and the way people's information is spread instantly far and wide. You know, back in the old days, you could say something or do something. It would take a long time for the rest of the world to find out about it. It had to be published somehow, either in print or on radio or something like that. Now, anybody and communicate instantly with theoretically, you know, billions of people simply by posting something online. And so Jerry Jones' photograph from 1957, where he's in the crowd of boys, I think a lot of them were football players, anyway, at North Little Rock High School, which is just across the river, I guess, from Little Rock Central, during the, you know, the really tense time of integration. And Jerry Jones is there. There's some kind of bad-looking kids. They're all teenagers, obviously, in school. And they're preventing some black students from coming into the school. And Jerry Jones is in the crowd, and you can see him. He's not doing anything. He's in about the third row, but he's observing.
Yeah, he's just there. He's just there.
And now I talked to Sally Jenkins, who one of the Washington Post writers. Sally's an old friend. She and David Marinus are the ones who broke this story. But she said, actually, Jerry Jones had acknowledged that photograph, I don't know, like 15 years ago. Somebody found it or brought it up. It's an AP photo. But anyway, now it's more of a news story and they were asking him how he felt about it. The point of their story about this was about racism or racial hiring or whatever in the NFL. And so Jerry Jones, you know, as Sally said, kudos to him for being the only owner who would talk to them about this. Even Roger Goodell wouldn't talk. So that's Jerry Jones. That's the issue with him. The Kyrie Irving one is when he tweeted out a link to a movie, which I watched parts of it that you can see online, called the actual title is Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America, with an exclamation mark. And it turns out it's a very anti-Semitic film, and it has a very mixed message about black culture.
Yeah,
about
you're talking,
ownership.
You know, you're making the point that words matter. Over the years, when you've been on the Sports Doctor, we've talked about this metamorphosis of so many different areas, whether it was all of a sudden big money in college sports, whether it was the a scenario of the whole drug scandal, whether it again was these mixture of these important situations in the middle, again, the explosion of social media. And you've written about these various almost revolutions and all these pedestals and all these different challenges. And I think, again, as a sports writer, your background as an author, you've always written about so many different, you talked about a lot of them, I think, when you were on TV with the sports writers when you were the young guy 100 years ago.
Yes, I was the young guy once upon a time, Doc. But yes, these things.
When was that show? When did that show play?
Well, we did our first show in late December of 1985, and it continued on all the way until 2001. And John Roach was the producer. He's in Madison. I just saw him last week. Great guy. Anyway, he still owns, I think, 600 hours of the sports writers on TV. And someday we may get that, that, I don't know. There's lots of things that could be done with it. But yeah, that long it was, so let's see, actually all of 86 to 2001. So 15 years.
Yes, and the all that time you spent with Sports Illustrated, writing on, again, on so many different topics, and you always added in, again, the perspective of the importance of so many things that weren't necessarily the sport or the sport itself or what their batting average was. And this whole world over the past few years that you've written about, you know, these college athletes, all of a sudden now, you know, there's money in college sports, and you would talk about, you know, what does that mean? And who knows, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's happening in college sports, the NIL is the name, image, and likeness. I mean, I wrote a book, The 100-Yard Lie, The Corruption of College Football. And how
I remember it.
But that was 1989. This stuff was all obvious as can be. You know, for decades before that, the NCAA has done nothing. If they didn't see this coming, well, they didn't see it. They saw it coming. They refused to do anything about it. And now it's kind of like the Wild West. So, it had to happen. You cannot have a business, a total enterprise with a complete free market rules about it. Pay a coach anything you want to, build any stadium you want with free labor, which is what, you know, elite college athletes are supposed to be, just amateurs. Meanwhile, your coach can make $11, $12 million a year, and TV revenue is in the billions, and, you know, on and on. Commissioners make millions, and assistant coaches make $1 million now. So, and players are supposed to do it for free. So you can see this coming. It had to happen. And I have no sympathy for the NCAA. So, you know, there you go.
You know, and the challenges that you and I have talked about also with the tremendous physical and mental pressures and overuse in youth sports, and the whole craziness with the drugs in sports because of the years ago I told you that I renamed, in some ways, performance-enhancing drugs. I renamed them performance-surviving because so much of the drug concern, the nightmares, were because of the pain relief and getting back before you're ready, the pressure's on, you're going to lose your spot, you're going to get cut, you won't make the team. And if anything, the pressures have increased dramatically over the years with bigger, faster, stronger in so many different ways in every sport. Right, Rick? It's amazing.
Well, it is. And that gets to the root of what is sport. Why do we care so much about sports? And the one thing that, you know, I've kind of ascertained is that you can see sports. And if it's your child, you can see them win the game. You can see them throw that perfect, you know, strike somebody out. You can see them make the game-winning basket. It's much more difficult to get all fired up about a kid getting straight A's, you know, as it happens gradually, yeah. And you don't watch it.
But what do you do, Rick, if you see it? You mentioned all these things. What about if you see the kid making an error and you start screaming? Right?
Yeah, well,
what about that side?
Well, that pressure is, you know, it's just wrong. And, you know, I've tried to analyze that. Why do parents get so worked up? Why do we have Little League dads? And why do we have, you know, tennis dads, Little League moms? What? It's because as a parent or with the interest in that child, that's your DNA. And what you're really doing is just following this evolutionary thing. You want to see your DNA succeed. And that's all it ever comes down to. People will say, well, no, I just want the team to play better. I want the coach to be a better coach. No, what you actually want is for your child to dominate. That's what it always comes down to. And that's understandable in a way. But the way it's manifests itself is just wrong. And the pressure
got way out of line.
Got
way out of line. Yeah. You know, I had a guest on a month ago, Rick, and in the world of refereeing, and he was talking about at the high school, college, or even lower level, let alone Little League, these referees were like umpires said, not me, not doing it anymore with this abuse.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The sideline abuse, parents, coaches, this whole ratcheting up of behavior. And
yep.
We feature it a lot on the Sports Doctor because, again, it is still a huge problem in the world of sports. These, again, these pressures to play and the overzealous either coach or parent on the sideline, mm-hmm. or team doctor. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. One other thing that I've seen about this, Doc, is that you have to remember how much parents have invested. And I don't mean just materially, but in time. If you have a child who is a gymnast, who is a swimmer, who is a tennis player, who is on a hockey team, they start early, even travel baseball or basketball, that parent has put in hundreds of hours. I mean, I know with swimming, parents will drive from a long ways to find that swimming pool with the coach, because there aren't swimming pools everywhere, and they need a program.
Yes.
They might have to drive 45 minutes each way.
Let alone the world of figure skating. You know, in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, what you're saying, I call it the prodigy sports. We want kids to play all sports, but if you're a gymnast or a figure skater or even the world tennis, soccer, you're already dedicated at 12, 13 years old. Man, that's a whole other show. We'll be right back with Rick Kellner, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. We're talking with a local guy, the famous, infamous Hall of Famer sports writer, Rick
Hellander, multiple author. And I was very excited, Rick, when I read in the Sun-Times, whatever it was last month, in the Sneeds column about your new book, your children's book, The Sweet Dreams, Poems and Paintings. It's a work of art. It really is something. And the fact that all the poems are yours, tell us about Sweet Dreams, Rick.
Okay, I will. First of all, it took 30 years. So this is always on the back burner. It's 42 original poems by this particular sports writer, which you might not expect, but I did study English literature and poetry in college. That was my major. And then each one of
No wonder poems, you're such a special sports writer. That doesn't surprise me. No wonder.
Yeah, it was pretty weird to be a scholarship football player and doing that. I think it was only one other guy, like a third-string walk-on who was in...
Northwestern, yes.
But anyway, Bob, each one of the poems in this book is illustrated by a different renowned artist. And those artists are from four different countries. I contacted each one of them with a particular poem for, I thought it would fit their type of art. Asked them if they would do this. They all are participants in this book. And some really pretty impressive ones. So each one is different from the other. There's watercolors. There are oils. There's acrylic. There's pastel. There are colored pencils and even one pen and ink painting. But they take up a full page. So the kid, the full title is Sweet Dreams, Poems and Paintings for the Child Abed. And it's kind of an old-fashioned title, but this is a very old-fashioned book. It's like Robert Louis Stevenson's The Child's Garden of Verses. It's very old-fashioned. And for somebody, a kid who's either going to bed, is sick.
My grandson's Christmas present to 7 years old Griffin. He don't know it yet. the word, when I saw the title, For a Child Abed, I don't know if I've ever heard that word, abed.
I don't think you have. It's kind of an antique word, and that hints at the scope of this book, which is, put down your Game Boy, put down the iPad, the iPod, anything, put it down. This is old-fashioned. This is a book, and there's something pure and simple and, I think, wonderful about books. And even if the child can't understand the poems yet, because some are just fanciful and, for kids,
you could talk for 2 days on some of the meanings of each of the poems in a children's point of view. It really, really is awfully special. What are some of the areas, Rick, you touched on that you in your messages and your poetry that you wanted to pay attention to?
Well, some of them are obvious. One is, what is it like when a child is sick and they don't understand why? And there's one little boy asking his mother, who made me this sick? And she's responding,
comfort.
There's another one where a child is obviously has been lying in his bed or goes to bed, doesn't have to be sick, but there's a water glass on his nightstand and he's fascinated, or she, by the way the sunlight comes through and is refracted. It's called prism. And sees all these different colors that come out of obviously or apparently clear light as it goes through the glass as reflected on his or her wall, and asks them at the end, am I like the sun? Have my hues begun? Asking, do I have something special within me? Then there's other ones that are just fanciful, as if you're in a dream. Like being on a boat. The child's bed is a boat.
Now tell me the truth, Rick. Did you mix in any sports in all your poems?
Yes, I did. There's one about
Yes, you did.
A couple of them. One, the kid's looking out of his window down at a basketball game on the court that's down below his apartment building, wishing he were there with his buddies, and he waves to them. There's another one about a child playing baseball. Fantasy baseball in his own bed with baseball cards. It could be a girl. So that's a couple of them. I'm trying to think. There's, there's a wide variety of poems and scenes, outdoor scenes.
beautiful one of a.
Did you choose paintings and then match the poems?
Did you have the poems
in your pockets for 30 years, and you searched out these artists.
It took 30 years to get, I get a hold of an artist. I would send them a sketch. This is before the internet when I started. I mean, before email or I would call these artists on the phone, even in Canada. Once, I talked to this guy in London. In fact, he was one of the last ones I talked to. It was great. We did a Zoom call. But I would show them what I wanted. They needed some idea. And then they would send stuff back and forth to me. Like Ed Paskey, a great artist in Chicago, he's got his own museum. Anyway, he sent me back sketches of the teddy bear. What do you think about this, Rick? And I'd say, yeah, that looks great, but what if he did this? And it's about a fever. It's called Fever, and everything is upside down in this room, and things are floating around. And it's actually a child who's enjoying, in a certain sense, the hallucinations or from the fever. So Ed went back and forth, and he sent me sketches. It really was a lot of fun, but it took a lot of time. These artists were busy doing their own professional work, so it might take 6 months to get a painting because they say, I'll fit it in when I can. And, they're beautiful paintings. Some of them they gave to me, and I have them, and I'd like to ultimately, I don't know if it's ever possible, to have a showing of all the original art with, in some gallery with the, the poems under them. But the art is what makes
that makes so much sense. Again, the book, I couldn't believe it's a work of art, let alone the endless array of ideas that go into it, besides the fact of saying, Rick Tellender, the poet? I'm trying to remember one of your last articles, where you threw some poetry in, maybe in one of the Sun Times or in Sports Illustrated. But I would imagine that with parents and the ages would be endless. 3, 4, 5 years old. There's so many different messages, and the pictures themselves are the kids. What's the feedback been, Rick? I bet it's been fabulous.
Well, here's the thing, Bob. I did this. I did it all without a publisher. I didn't want one. I didn't want anybody else messing with it. I have a book designer who's an artist that I know in Chicago who helped me all the way through. For 30 years, he's been with me. Al Brantner, a great guy. And now, just this week, I signed with the publisher. So it's going to be a little bit of time before the book will actually be available to the public, although almost 2,000 books have been printed independently for Ronald McDonald Houses. Five in the Chicago area, including the main one right downtown.
Yes, Rick, when again, Rick Tellender, the Hall of Fame sports writer, Sweet Dreams, Poems and Paintings for a Child Abed, you will let us know when it's available in the Amazon world and whatever. We'll absolutely mention it on the Sports Doctor. As always, thanks so much for joining me, Rick. And
always a pleasure, Doc.
Happy holiday. Hold on one second, Rick. We'll be right back, everybody. It's Sports Doctor. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention
I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor Is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child. Hey, everybody. It's the Sports Doctors In segment, live from Chicago. Quick shout out. Celebrating his 50th year, I think give or take a little bit. Bruce Merrin, CelebritySpeakers.com. You check them out. The guy represented Elvis Presley once upon a time, and his sports world started with Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. Great shows coming up next week. Renee Thornborough, the world of child coaching. And another great weapon to help children adapt communicate and learn. She'll be joining us. And the holidays, families get together. Vicki Matthews, the world of family relations. She's going to chime in with some suggestions for all of us. Following week, sports psychology, Doc Connor, high performance, will be joining us. And returning, Natalie Graves, a social worker in the world of young sports families, students, and that whole world. The Bob Guide of Wisdom, I wanted to mention the passing of Nick Bollettieri, the famous tennis coach, coached, the Andre Agassiz, the Williams sisters, the Sampras's. Years ago, with Bob Guida in the early 80s, we were involved in dealing with the whole world of making the tennis players better athletes. And Bob had a lot to do with Nick Bollettieri adding some important ingredients in that fact, not more tennis, but the idea of the athletic training that was involved in it. Bob was a big part of that. Gosh, Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, Tracy Austin, Yannick Noah, great players that passed through Bob Guida's tutelage in the world of high-performance tennis. A couple emails here. Paul says, my 10-year-old son plays hockey. He plays 4 or 5 days a week. His heels are always bothering him. You know, Paul, there's a big growth center in the bottom and the back of the heels. It doesn't solidify and come together till 14, 15 years old, at least in boys. It's susceptible to stress, usually more notable in running, jumping sports, where we're pounding that heel area, or in jumping in the world of figure skating. You want to see podiatry, you want to pay big attention, especially if this has been ongoing. Orthotics could solve that problem. You got to look at foot mechanics. Sometimes that flat-type foot adds shearing force to the pressure of skating and can re-aggravate that area. You also want to pay attention to the boots he's in, who recommended them, include a podiatry evaluation. We've had great success over the decades with this problem and the role of proper orthotics. Stacy says, my 12-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater.
We're on skaters. She's had problems on and off with her knees. We've had physical therapists. They said there's nothing structurally wrong. Stacy, 50% of the female younger girl figure skaters I've seen over the decades are knee problems. And I'm a sports podiatrist, foot specialist, where we would add orthotics to the skate and solve the knee problem or really, really help it, especially in the younger adolescent girls where we're starting to get into puberty. The hips are widening slightly. There's an increase in the angle at the knee. This is no less important for the young girl, soccer player, tennis player, whatever she's volleyball, whatever she's playing. As that body's maturing, there's also hormonal changes, which allow a little bit more flexibility. We've had great success besides the strengthening, the physical therapy, making sure you've had the proper diagnosis. Again, when the kids are growing, common problem is called Osgood-Schlager, where there is a pulling on the kneecap tendon where it attaches to the shin bone because the bones are growing so fast. And all of a sudden that attachment hurts. But foot mechanics, major key. For both the young hockey player and this young figure skater, the same orthotics, which help dramatically in the problem, make a big difference in their skating. This has been very, very exciting. I've watched it for 30, 40 years. Again, my poster guy, Evan Lysacek, 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, 10 years old when we put orthotics in the skates. I'm still doing it with these young hot shots, the difference that orthotics make. Proper foot alignment is the whole idea. Hey, the book, Happy Holidays, everybody. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Available on Amazon. It's got so many important topics in the world of youth sports, the parenting side, the nutrition side, the foot mechanic side, the great cartoons that talk about so many topics in the world of youth sports. It's such a big business, and there is an epidemic, capital letters, of overuse injuries, both physically and mentally, with youth sports. There was just a tweet by my frequent guest, the team orthopedist of the New York Yankees, Dr. Chris Ahmad, talking about how many elbow surgeries he's been doing, some of them in adolescence, because of overuse, too much throwing, too much pressure, even in the world of running and jumping. The overuse and overkill. And it has led to one of the chapters in the book is called Youth Sports and Drugs. This reliance on over-the-counter pain medicines, the Advils, the ibuprofens, the Aleves, because this kid is hurting. His feet and ankles. Dr. Wild, don't you understand? He's competing next week. His ankle's hurting. He needs two Advil twice a day. Big problem with overuse. So you really want to pay attention again. And the book is still as important today as then 4 years ago. Hashtag a sports parent. Happy holidays, everybody. See you next week.